I try to watch Continental, Lock, but it's a crowd of one up today. Here we go. Gentlemen, this is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. We're broadcasting live from a high orbit sorry, of 0.0167 feet above sea level. You do the math on that one. And we're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite, as I just said. But I'm not alone up here. No, 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 no. We have the intern bots, and we have our co-host. Ladies and gentlemen, some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Most of us should say he's mad Viking.
And everyone is paying attention. Is it actually over? Is the strike over?
Well, is it?
A writer's strike. They say they've made a tentative agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now
well,
they'll
explain
to...
the.
Yeah,
that'll explain the list of all the new shows coming out.
Now that I guess they have to show it to the rank and file.
Yes. Because all of a sudden I saw today a list of all the shows lined up for the fall. I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Doesn't that mean the strike has to be over first?
Yep.
What's going on here? I guess all they had to do is wait till the full previews and, you know.
Now you see, they went for the independents. You know, the ones that are not in the union. They would have had stuff by now.
Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like a tentative deal reached to end Hollywood writer's strike. Says it's a deal. WGA and AMPTP reached tentative agreement to end writer's strike. Picketing suspended. All right, Variety. The deal is exceptional. The writer's strike. The deal is exceptional. It's what is it, a historic. Oh, they reached a historic contract agreement. Let's see here. They reached a deal Sunday after 5 consecutive days of negotiations. Right, of course, the nitty-gritty details.
Which probably why both Drew Barrymore and Bill Maher, who mm-hmm. said they were going to go anyway and do their show due to the rest mm-hmm. of the staff, hit the brakes.
Right, right. Well, here's the deal. The nitty-gritty details of language around the use of generative AI in content production was one of the last items that the sides worked on before closing the pact. Because that was the big one. I think basically, like, let's work on everything else. Because I know that the AI, the generative AI thing, was the huge one. So, let's see here. We could say with great pride the deal is exceptional, with meaningful gains and protections for writers in every sector of the membership. The WGA's negotiation committee wrote in an email sent to members at 7:10 p.m. Pacific time. Full text below. Oh, but the strike itself will still be in force through the guild's contract approval and ratification process. But picketing has been suspended as of Sunday night. Guild leaders are expected to vote on Tuesday on whether to formally lift the strike order against AMPTP's signatories. To be clear, no one is to return to work until specifically authorized to by the guild. We are still on strike until then. Message to members stated. And of course, details of the contract agreement won't be released until the final language is completed over the coming days. WGA leadership expects to vote on Tuesday on the final pact. First, the negotiating committee will vote on whether to recommend that the deal go to a vote of the board of the WGA West and council of WGA East. Assuming both of those votes approve the pact, the contract will be sent out for ratification by WGA's 11,000 members. Though we are eager to share the details of what has been achieved with you, we cannot do that until the last I is dotted. The message to members stated to do so would complicate our ability to finish the job. So, as you have been patient with us before, we ask you to be patient again one last time.
In other words, soon.
So this afternoon. Soon. Yes, yes. Because this is after nearly 5 months on strike. The work stoppage began May 2nd. Let's see.
And the first thing you'll see, ambush bug versus four bushmen. No.
trying to see here. Yeah, so I guess... So basically, the end of the WGA strike will hasten the end of the SAG-AFTRA's walkout. So until this is over, it's just funny. Like it says here, once Labor Day came and went, WGA negotiating committee co-chairs Chris Kaiser and David Goodman faced heightened internal pressure from some prominent members to restart the negotiations process. Now that deal with the WGA is in hand, AMPTP negotiators will turn their attention to SAG-AFTRA. Production and promotion cannot fully restart until SAG-AFTRA members vote to ratify a new agreement. Okay, then there's a full text, a very lengthy text. The whole committee is named. And so basically... Yeah, like we said, it's in name only until it's ratified and blah, 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 blah. 11,000 members vote and all that good stuff. So, but there was a list of TV shows that, you know, were renewed for this fall, but have they gotten to work? Have they worked on them yet? You know, because like May 2nd, technically, the full, you know, the season, you know, those seasons were, how should I put it? I guess those episodes were done filming, right? But were they able to start working on the new, you know, the new fall seasons yet? Because usually the fall seasons start late September, early October. So, we shall see. So we might not see any new shows until, what, December?
Give or take.
January? Or we might just see, like what they did with COVID, 26 new episodes, January to May. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be something?
And we shall see.
Yes, we shall. It'll be interesting. But I mean, there's plenty of streaming services. Watch shows that, you know, plenty of shows on streaming services to keep you busy. Speaking of streaming services, I watched John Wick 4 this weekend. Well, it was on Stars, but The Continental. I tried to watch earlier today, but I don't know what was wrong. I guess everybody was trying to watch it. It took like an hour for me to start the episode. What it's going to do is, it's on Fridays, right? And it's like for the next 3 weeks, it's a three-part episode. A three-part series, rather, and each episode is like an hour and a half. And it took me an hour to get to play it. And by the time it did, I was half an hour into it, and I was just like, I thought you were yawning. Yeah, that's how I felt by the time I got to play. I just took a little, I was like, screw it, I'll watch it later. I was so tired. By the time I got to play, I was like, you know what, I can watch something else. Because basically, it's The Continental. It shows you the early days of it, and it's like Winston, his character, his rise to, I think, being in control of how he got in control of the Continental. So, if you know that character, so. I found out that the new TMNT Mutant Mayhem movie is on Paramount Plus. I was like, oh, Okay, I gotta watch that too. I watched the new Fast and Furious. Fast X was on,
mm-hmm.
and Jason Momoa plays the bad guy, the main baddie in this one. He plays a good psychopath, I'll tell you. It was funny. I was like, wow, okay. I think it's funny. Instead of doing, it was a 3-hour movie. No, sorry. John Wick was a 3-hour movie. This was a 2.5-hour movie, and they, instead of just doing like one long final movie, I heard they were going to do like a 10th movie. This was supposed to be the last one. This one's going to be a trilogy. So, you know, just because we can't get enough Fast and Furious, we're going to give you 3 movies out of the final one. And that's all I got to say about that. So go ahead.
Well, as you know, both me and Pokemon were able to get past Ophelia. I kept losing power time by time because, well, I live in the woods.
Yeah. I live in the burbs. And it was like steady rain. It wasn't like, if it was hard, it must have been at nighttime, because during the day you look out. And it was like rain, but then at times like, oh, it's not that bad, but it was like that drizzle on you at all times. If you went out, I was like, really? Just, damn it. Okay. Just enough to annoy you. Where you had to put the windshield wipers on low. I was like, you know, if you put on the next level, on medium or whatever, it's too much. But if you put on low, it's like, you know, it's just not enough. So, and you just want to stay inside all weekend.
Hey.
Anyway, so. I think you had it worse than I did with the power blinking on and off, so.
Well, like I said, it was a case of I'm in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what town do you live in? Or what county?
Sullivan County.
Sullivan County. That's in Westchester or near Westchester?
No, that's basically the Catskills.
Oh, the Catskills. Okay. See, I want to ask you a question now that I have here. Where do you consider upstate New York? Like, where does upstate New York begin?
Once you get out of the city.
See, now, you said that, and the guy who plays Dasher in our D&D campaign, he said the same thing. And a lot of people said, no, because you got to go up more. Because somebody said some town, and that's western New York. So I said, you got to look at the map, right, of New York. And once you get above, you know where the western New York is on the map? And once you get above that, you draw a line across western New York all the way. I said, once you get above western New York, then that's upper New York. That's upstate. I think.
Now, let's see. North and west of you, north, last I checked, is up.
Right, but what they're saying is how far up do you have to be before you're upstate New York, considered upstate New York? Like, somebody says they're from Albany, and they're like, oh, that's definitely upstate, you know, or like Albany, Buffalo. Like, yeah, that's definitely, yeah, you're definitely upstate New York. You know, there's no doubt about that one.
Best answer I heard, if you see more trees than skyscrapers, you're in upstate New York.
If you're by the Canadian border, you're upstate New York. Yeah. If you're near the New England border, you're upstate New York. That's my take on it. But
New York would be like Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's
best. Okay, you're Sullivan County. Yeah, the Catskill Mountains. Yeah.
Tom Northwest.
Right. I see. I see it.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, you're all the way up there. Jeez. Installing it. How? Where? Wait, I'm trying to. I have this map up, but it doesn't go by county, so. What town are you by? What town are you?
Well, the mailing address is Parksville.
Parksville. This isn't the best map.
Well, that's the the big map. Unless you start zooming in a lot.
No, even if I zoom in, because this just has some of the big towns upstate. It's like you see Poughkeepsie, Monticello, Kingston, Catskill, Hudson.
Yeah, Monticello, now Hudson, you're getting closer.
Okay. Okay, so you're that way. Okay.
Right.
Monticello, Oneonta. Oh, okay, this is what they show near the Catskills. Monticello, Oneonta. And then Sydney to the left. Oh, Binghamton's over there? I thought Binghamton was up north. Okay. Oh, see, Rochester. Holy shit. Okay, I thought Rochester. Wow. I gotta study my map more. I thought Rochester was up north. I thought Rochester was more near Potsdam. Not that much near. Okay. Oh, wow.
And a death has just been announced.
Where?
David McCullum, okay. NCIS actor. He was the head morgue ducky.
Ah, yes.
Age 90. Natural causes.
Wow. Okay. I found Sullivan County. I found a county map. I found Sullivan County. Okay. Well, you know what's funny? Somebody said, like, compared to Long Island and New York City, everything's upstate New York. It's like, no shit. Duh.
Hell,
but, like,
Brooklyn is upstate New York.
Well, no. We're saying once you get out of the five boroughs, in New York City. Yeah, that's what he was joking about. Like, technically, Brooklyn's upstate. Like, no. Once you're out of the five boroughs in New York City. I know we're born everywhere. Like, I know this shit about New York. And somebody says, somebody said like this. He goes, yeah, you think New York City is the center of the universe. I responded, remember 9/11? The whole world shut down when New York City was attacked. It is the center of the universe. Think about it. Somebody said that at work. It's like, yeah, for everybody who jokes around thinking New Yorkers think they're the center of the universe. New York's attacked? Yeah. Other cities are attacked. The world just keeps going. New York City's attacked? The whole world shut down for 24 hours. Just proving our point, New York City is the fucking center of the universe. It's not just that. It's the World Trade. You got the
had the World Trade
Wall,
Center.
Well, you had the World Trade. No. I meant to say Wall Street. You know, the UN. All these other things are here. You know, not just because the New Yorkers, you know, that live there. It's all the other things that are, you know, in New York City. Like I said, Wall Street, the UN. you know, things like that, of that nature. Okay, somebody broke New York State down into regions. Central region, Eastern region, Hudson Valley region. We're region L. Well, I'm region L, New York City and Long Island. North County, North Country region, and Western region.
You know how many times I've gotten into an argument with Rain over this subject? Because she thinks...
Really?
I'm in New York
what?
City.
Not even... Oh, my God. You got to send her a map of New York State, and you got to break it down for her and say, look, I'm here, New York... Even I know... Oh, well, I live in New York. No. Not even close.
Oh, my God. Well, oh. The skyscraper I got is like a 10-story casino. That's it.
Well, I've been to New York City. I've gone to New York City a few times for the museum. Can see a couple of the museums, the Hard Rock Cafe. What was I going to say? I've been to Cooperstown once.
Yeah.
I can't remember what town it's in. I know that's way from you. I think that's past you, isn't it?
Way past.
It's got to be way past. I've been to Howe Caverns. I don't know if you've heard of that. You've heard of that one,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I literally said, like I said, the tallest is a 10-story casino. I even went into
wow.
The dark zone. I said, and a suicide jumper in New York City is going like, I could probably survive that.
Yeah. Wow. I typed in Howe and what came up Howe Caverns. It's located in Howe's Cave, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know, it's closed Monday and Tuesdays. You sons of bitches. How far? Wow. Now, if I want no tolls, it takes 4.5 hours to get there. If I want tolls, according to this, it's $10.67. And 3 hours, 57 minutes to get there.
Not counting construction.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's by, I go from Middleburg. Barnerville? Oh, shit. But up there, I always wanted to, they have all these different caves up there. And I went about, 15 years ago with my brother. And we were going to get a motel room. And I was like, we should do all the caverns up there. He goes, why? I was like, because they're here. We're here. Let's just get a damn room. The caves are open. I got all the brochures for all the other caves. Let's just do all the caves while we're up here. No, fine, whatever. So all of a sudden he did a 180, and we just came back the same day. I was like, whatever, dude. Anyway, I think we bored everybody with our New York talk. Okay, I didn't mean to pick up that chair. WWC room, there I threw it anyway because to get rid of it. All right, so. City of Titans, I have no news.
Ship of Heroes, nothing. All the others, they're still rebooting.
Yeah, I don't know what they're rebooting for. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know.
Basically, I'm hearing Willy Wonka going, you get nothing. Good day,
sir. That's right. You blew it. You had your opportunity, and you did nothing. You did nothing. Oh, okay. I got something interesting for you. So, PulseCon 2023 has, I don't know if it's here and gone or kicked to left, but, good Lord. I don't even know what the hell these are. Okay. Okay, it's a Transformer. It's Transformers PulseCon 2023. It's going to be the 40th anniversary next year. I don't know if you know this one. It's called Tiger Hawk.
That I do know. Beast Wars.
Oh, you do know. Oh, okay. Well, that's one of the ones that has. It's an in-house online convention. We did them first, folks. and it's
Tiger Hawk is the first one, followed by...
Wait a minute. Hubs is saying, thanks. The reason we're not hearing anything from the others because they're playing this. What are they playing?
Ooh.
This is on City of Heroes.
We mean City of Heroes.
Hugs go on City of Heroes. Hugs goes. Thanks to the reason we're not here. Because they're playing this. Oh, COH. Okay. I was going like, what?
Huh? What are they playing?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Ask us.
Stab, help us out here. Stab, do you hear us?
Hello.
Okay, right, here. Okay, very good. Thank you, Stab. Thank you. Okay, very good. Thank you, thank you. All right, very good. We're just making sure. I was like, thinking, we've been talking this whole time and nobody hears us? Holy shit, that's the worst thing ever.
The villain from that one classic Warner Brothers cartoon. Don't do that!
I'm dying.
Now, I know you know the one I'm talking about, the one with the brothers in college dating the one girl and the evil guy. Oh, what's his name?
I know the one
you're
talking about.
Okay.
Right, but I'm just saying, don't do that. The one... There was another cartoon. He goes, don't do that. Oh, the devs of COT and SOH are playing COH and not developing Diddly. That's our point. They're playing this. I think that's the reason they were working on those games, because COH was gone. And now it's like, no. That's what we were joking about. It's like the second this game came back, they stopped working on the game. It's like, no, no, you were so close. What were you thinking?
I don't know.
What are you doing? Get back to work. He's been working on a superhero game.
Great. I'm almost level 40.
What? I mean, yeah. I'm working on the coding. Yep. You're playing City of Heroes, aren't you? Instead of working on City of Titans, I knew it. But wait, just a minute. We got news for you peoples. The anniversary event, what I love is this. Technically, the anniversary event should be over Thursday morning, right?
Right.
Right. But, hold on. The devs announced something Thursday morning. Actually, no. They announced it Friday morning. Because you know how well they time these things out. Well, you know what it is. Technically, it's the last Friday of the month. With that being said, with the devs in Champions Online, it's the devs costume contest. But this time, it's the Anything Goes costume contest. It's time for annual Anything Goes costume contest. This is from Ambassador Kale. The 14th anniversary celebrations roll on, champions. And this time, it's your favorite kind of costume contest. No theme. Anything goes, except stuff that's against the rules and TOS, terms of service. You know who you are.
No, that's a Smackdown Club Caprice.
Yep. Club Caprice just exploded and then rebuilt itself and then imploded. Show up in your best outfit and let the judges judge you. Walk away in glory, covered in the adoration of your peers. Show us what you got. will be doing a live streamed costume contest on September 29th, judged by some of the developers that work on Champions Online. Head to the Powerhouse Theater to participate. Judging begins at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time or 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That PT is also server time. And the contest begins at 4 p.m. Pacific Time / server time. You can watch the show live on the Champions Online Facebook page or on their Twitch channel. There will be 3 winners and 10 runners-up. Here's how the prizes break down. Our top 3 will win a contest special item voucher, a contest heroic item voucher, a contest honorable item voucher, and 2 dev tokens, and 1 more unique title, Super. The 10 honorable mentions will win 2 contest honorable item vouchers and 2 dev tokens. And everyone who participates will receive the title, No Capes. What's the matter? The heroic voucher.
It's like when you said the title is Super. I'm going like, okay,
yeah.
I now have to download and get ready a song from South Park. I'm super. Thank you,
I'm super. How about you? I'm super. How about you? As soon as I said that out loud, I was thinking the same thing. I was going to do something at the end. The Heroes Voucher will offer you a choice of rare lockbox costumes from the past, while the Honorable Voucher will offer you a choice of rare individual costume pieces from lockboxes of the past. Huh? Isn't that the same thing? I don't know.
Get the whistle ready and read that again. Let's see.
Yeah. Hold on. Am I just the only one? You know, it sounds weird when I read it. I go, huh? One more. I don't care if I put my radio announcer voice on. It's still confusing. The Heroic Voucher will offer you a choice of rare lockbox costumes from the Oh, I got it. Okay. The Rogue Voucher will offer you a choice of rare lockbox costumes from the past, while the Honorable Voucher will offer you a choice of rare individual costume pieces from lockboxes of the past. Got it?
That's still saying rare pieces from old lockboxes.
Hold on.
The whistle.
We'll see you.
I'm calling the whistle.
We'll see you at the Powerhouse Theater, champions. Okay, here's the deal. Ready? The Heroic Voucher gives you a full costume set. The Honorable Voucher gives you costume pieces.
Okay.
Yes, see? That's why I put the emphasis on the different names of the vouchers. You know what? Hold on. You know what? Everybody just have a drink anyway. Fuck it. What the hell? I don't Man, have a shot of alcohol. It'll help you feel better. Fuck it. I said so. There had to be something in here. Just because it's a costume contest and they say you'll have the adoration of everybody. Bullshit. You know we're going to bitch and moan and like,
Look, I'm so angry. They're saying there's an NPC with my costume. Where is this NPC?
Where?
Somebody show me this NPC.
Last month? The Rainbow Aura came out. It was a full-body Rainbow Aura. One of the guys loved it, and he goes, that's a great use. I love how you color the aura. And we're all sitting there in the chat going, you get the aura like that. You don't do anything to it. It's an aura piece, and it looks like that. And we're telling him this, and he's like praising like how much hard work this person put into it. And it's like, meanwhile, it just came out yesterday. They were lucky enough to get it. And that's what they based their costume around. Like, a lot of things he's like, wow. Oh, look at that. That's a really great thing. Oh, look at that costume. It's like, dude, it comes like that. like the person doesn't understand the costume store. Like they don't go in and like if you're going to judge the costume, you know, like the if you're going to go in and judge the costumes, go into the costume store and see the costume pieces, you know, and look at them and see what's going on, or the temporary costumes. I think somebody, he said, had a great costume, and we're all like, you know, that's a temporary costume. That only lasts an hour. That only lasts, like, an hour. And that's why he just put it on right now. Like, as soon as judging started, he put it on. It's like, yeah, that only lasts, like, an hour. And I think he had, like, two of them. Or he had a bunch of them. So he could put them on, so... So if you're top three, you'll be super. And then the rest of us get, we could be Edna Moles and say, no capes. No capes. And it's just, you know, I don't know if they're getting better at it. I think, like, people saying one or two get by, that's just best costume, regardless of the theme. But this time, there's definitely no theme. So I got a feeling this time, there may be four, maybe five powerhouse theaters. Because I think last time it was like two power... I think, I forget the theme last month. It was like two powerhouses and maybe a third open, but the third had hardly any people in it. So...
All right, I've got the song. I am ready.
I don't have a mix. You have to give it to me to upload.
Hold on, almost there.
I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let me check. Let me see if I have it.
If I just got it, that means you didn't know. You don't have it.
No. Because, like, from years past, I might have uploaded. I was just checking. I don't have it. No. What I'm saying is I might have uploaded at one point for something, and I forgot. It's been ages since I played it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we played it once, like, years ago. That's all. Holy shit. I have a DawnCon 3.
And before anyone of the politically correct wants to jam, remember, this was from South Park, bigger, longer, uncut movie. The fact it's from South Park means it's not going to be politically correct. The fact that it came from the movie entitled Bigger, Longer, Uncut really means it's not going to be politically correct.
That's right.
Don't bother at saying it's this, that, or the other thing. It's freaking South Park. There's your warning.
That's right.
You show me a politically correct South Park episode, I show you their last episode.
Yeah, right? All right, hold on. I am uploading. I am checking to see. All right, this might take a moment or two. Yeah, this might take a moment or two. Yeah, I'm just uploading. Just give it a moment. He knows what I'm doing, by the way. He said, it may take a moment to do that. You, in the meantime, respect my authority, and we'll be right there. Hold on a second. Okay, let me refresh the studio, and we see what's going on here. Hold on now. All right, let me see if I have it. Let's see if it's ready to go. All right, it's ready to go there, and we're going to play it. This is super. Or I'm super. Remember, lighten up. Enjoy.
Well, all right. If you insist, I'll sing my song. I believe it goes a little bit like this.
bombs are flying, people are dying, children are crying, politicians are lying too. Cancer is killing, Texaco's spilling, the whole world's gone to hell, but how are you? I'm super, thanks for asking, all things considered I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, no nothing bugs me, everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat? I'm so sorry, Mr. Cripple, but I just can't feel too bad for you right now, because I'm feeling so insanely super, that even the fact that you can't walk can't bring me down. Bug me. Everything is super when you're cute. You think I look cute in this hat? These little pants with matching ties, I got it firm. I'm super. Pick 'em up. Skittles. Okay.
again. There you go, folks. Big Gay Al, super, or I'm super, or he's super. I don't know. It's one of those.
Yeah, but
I
I'm
don't
going
think
like
there was anything.
I heard that.
I don't
I'm
think
like,
there was anything offensive.
I'm going. Your title
Hold
is
on.
Super.
I think when we, when everybody, okay. On Friday, since you're DJing, when we all get that title.
Well, only one person.
Well, when they
get
them
super.
Well, three. Oh, that's right. Three of them. Well, damn it. I think at some time during the event, when they start naming the top three, you should play that song. And mention the fact that they will be given the title Super.
Hugs goes, I'm super too.
Who said that? Hugs?
Hugs.
Yes. Good for you. I'm super too, yes. That's right. And Stab is celebrating. Yes, everybody's super. Everybody's super. Thanks for asking. You missed a fun night at D&D last night. It was one of those rare adventure one-shot wonders where we got a lot of magic items. And at the end of it, because everybody did the right thing, this creature, the big bad wasn't a big bad, gave us boons. Not Boone's wine. I'm sitting out of the group. It would be me, you, and Dasher. The three of us are the only ones in the group who know what Boone's is. But an epic boon, you know, granted to us. So you have the option. One is something where, like, I can't remember the names of them. Like, let's say you miss somebody with your attack. Mm-hmm. Once per short rest, you are allowed to say, no, I hit instead. Right, Hugs knows, favors, right. I'm talking about in 5th edition D&D. Once per short rest. The other is boon of damage resistance, meaning, let's say you get hit with a crap load of damage. Once per long rest, I think it's once per short rest, you can deny the damage and you take zero damage. And so we're cracking up. Like, can you imagine if we all take this and, like, all of a sudden, all right, everybody takes, like, 800 points of epic damage. Hold it. We all use our boons of damage resistance. We take nothing. What the hell? When did this happen? And then there's the one I think everybody's going to take. It's the boon of magic resistance. You get advantage on all spells and magical effects cast upon you, or just upon you. that would affect. Oh no, I'm sorry. All spells cast to you and all magical effects upon you that affect you. And it doesn't say long rest or short rest. It's all. I'm like, and I was reading this the night before. I'm like, well, shit, I would take that one. Because that's like 24-7, 365. That's like constant. It's like, yeah, I, an advantage. I roll twice, and I take that. I mean, the other one is just like once, you know, between short rest. The other one is like, all right, keep casting spells. I'm going to use this. That's what I would do. So, waiting for our normal DM to show up next week. Go. Yeah, I'm waiting for him to text or call me. You gave them what? Look, look, wait a minute. Wait. I can explain. It was in... It was in the adventure pack itself, and it was set up. What's funny is this mission was set up for, like, level 5.
He's so angry we broke his game.
I know, right? That's funny. I know. Oh, that's hilarious. That's funny. That still cracks me up. I don't know how we got through that.
So let's see. Soon we may be able to talk about new stuff on TV and movies. Soon.
Maybe, yeah.
TM.
soon, TM. Yes, yeah, soon. Soon. I don't know. Well, that's when I'm looking for streaming stuff, you know. Now it's like, I like I said, I watched John Wick 4. I thought that was a pretty good movie, so.
Oh, another thing I almost
It was
forgot.
The longest of them. It was Looks 3 hours, like, almost 3 hours. But anyway, go ahead.
I almost got to this one. Disney, Bob Iger wants to silence the noise of the woke stuff. He got enough pressure from the one group of people he didn't want to get pressure from. The stockholders.
Oh, finally. Okay, hold on. This might tie in with what I want to talk about really quick. Well, I want to talk about this. So we might push back the book for a few moments. But go ahead. So what does that mean?
Well, hold on.
All right. Can I? You want me to start talking?
Yeah,
about
you
mine?
Go
I'll
ahead.
Wait for you. Okay, so Kathleen Kennedy is still working for Star Wars. I don't know how the fuck she's there, and this pisses me off. Now, here's the whole thing. George Lucas, they got his reaction watching last week's episode of Ahsoka, and. He's there. He goes, "Oh, Thrawn," and he goes, "You know what's funny? Looking at him before he started talking, he goes, I thought that was Elon Musk in blue paint," and everybody's cracking up there. And he goes, "Oh, you know what's funny? Kathleen Kennedy said she had no source material to work with after I gave her 5,000 pages of notes, and now she's going back to what Timothy Zahn's *Heir of the Empire*." And she's rewriting it for what she wants to use it for. That's pretty interesting. Basically, this is what I heard from a source on his YouTube channel. So basically, she wants to, and this is why Lucas is getting, you know, attacking her now. Because basically, Kathleen Kennedy has been attacking Lucas this whole time. She never liked the fact that the main characters in Star Wars were mostly men. I guess she forgot Princess Leia was there this whole time. Okay. So, Scott, and you got to remember, Lucas wrote this story with a character that was kind of supposed to be like him. You know, Luke Skywalker is supposed to be George Lucas, okay? He wrote this story, you know, okay? You know, Luke Skywalker, Luke S., okay? And he wrote this, you know, when he was in college, okay? So she holds better resentment for the fact that, like, you know, most of the characters are men. But he wrote this for, you know, a long time ago. Not in a galaxy far, far away. And now she's decided that she wants to put females at the front and basically rehash everything that George Lucas has done for Star Wars. Just destroy the Star Wars universe. But what's funny about this is every time she touches a franchise, Disney is losing money and they have to sell off a piece of their empire because of her. So when the fuck are they going to wake up
and
say, bitch, get out of here. Hold up. And say, bitch, get out of here and bring Lucas back in fully and let, you know, him just right the ship finally. Because she's destroying Star Wars. She destroyed, hold on. She destroyed the Indiana Jones franchise and she's going to wind up destroying Disney before too long. So, there you go. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There you go. CEO Bob Iger told investors the company will quiet the noise in a culture war that has pitted social conservatives against the global media and entertainment conglomerate, according to an analyst note on Wednesday. His brief statement included an analyst report from Needham Media analyst Laura Martin. Was part of the investors' presentation on Tuesday at Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida, which the CEO also announced that Disney will double the investment in theme parks and cruise ships over the next decade. Disney is struggling to make its streaming business profitable, improve the quality of its films, position its flagship sports brand ESPN to stream directly to consumers, and potentially shed its television networks. In the most recent quarter, the company beat Wall Street's profit short on revenue. The thrust of the center of the nation was in 2022 when its companies criticized Florida legislation. Let's get to the meat of the matter here. here we go. Disney also faced social media backlash for consumer competitors over the casting of Halle Berry and Black Actress in the lead role of Ariel, the Little Mermaid. Okay, Reuters, it wasn't the actress, it was the writer. You edited The Little Mermaid. Several countries blocked the release of the Pixar anime. Halle Berry played Ariel. And they're saying because it was a black actress. No, it was not. You edited and changed The Little Mermaid. This is called writers, director, producer, whoever was in charge.
Yes.
Anyway, several countries blocked the Pixar animation of the film Lightyear, which depicts a same-sex couple sharing a brief kiss. Once again, I seen this thing. The writing, lousy, had nothing to do with any connection with the original Lightyear. The cartoon had more connection to Lightyear. That says something when the TV cartoon was closer to Buzz Lightyear.
They need to stop doing live action of their animated movies. You know why? Because you can do more in an animated movie than you can a live action movie. It needs to stop.
I mean, right now, all of 23, what
you
even won?
You are no longer in City of Heroes. You poofed.
Well, because I lost connection, and I'm still stuck in the lost connection. I haven't got to the character part. But
we
anyway,
lost him. No.
Now I can do
okay,
it.
Sorry, go ahead.
But anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, usually when you hear news of stuff from Disney, it's about an upcoming great thing. No, all we've been hearing about is the Snow White debacle. Why? Because we rewritten it. They're no longer seven dwarves. They're seven magical people of different heights.
And what is it she doesn't want to be?
And
what she doesn't want to be? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's constantly complaining about the 1937 cartoon. It looks like it's made in 1937. Well, yeah, and the plot. The original plot, last I checked, was like the 19th century. Not that even the 20th
right.
century, the 19th century. And
this
Prince
is
Charming
like,
is a stalker? No.
How do you figure that out?
We saw Prince Charming in the beginning. We saw Prince Charming
right.
at the end. That's it. We've seen movies with stalkers. They usually have some more airtime.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't fire her when she started that crap. And she's still going on about it.
Yes, she is.
Well, wait a minute. I haven't seen her in a couple of weeks. I think maybe Disney pulled her inside and said, shut up.
Give it time. We're not done yet.
maybe they'll recast her. I don't know. But so anyway, so basically, as I said, Kathleen Kennedy is using elements of Heir to the Empire. And guess what? Writing Luke Skywalker out and replacing him with Ahsoka. And she thinks this is a wonderful idea. Like, Lucas said years ago that the EU, the extended universe, is called the EU because it's not canon. Like, if Disney wanted to make a canon, then you should have used, you know, like, even he was making fun of Kathleen Kennedy. Gee, you know, she said there was no source material. There was a 5,000-page thing I gave her, and, oh, yeah. Like, how many, over almost 100 novels? And that's a trilogy she came up with? Huh. No wonder people like my movies. Okay. And, oh, he laid in. He's laying into her now because every time she talks, it's basically she let him know that, you know, Lucas's movies weren't that good. What? Lucas's movies is the foundation for everything Star Wars. Are you fucking kidding me? Did I ever tell you about Slither of the Mind's Eye? Do we have time to talk about that?
Well, we're past 9 o'clock.
All right. It'll not even 5 minutes. All right. So when I was a kid, my dad handed me a novel. So I was like, I didn't have time to read it. So he goes, fine, give it back. And I never read it. I always wanted to. Like, I finally got a copy this summer because I read an article about it. I found out what it was. Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Okay. Was Plan B, sequel Plan B. Regardless of how much money A New Hope made, Star Wars, you know, or Star Wars Chapter 4 New Hope made at the movies, he had intended to do a trilogy of movies. He was hell-bent on doing it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it only made a little bit of money, it turns out, he wasn't going to do Empire Strikes Back as the sequel. Alan Dean, he had a script, and he was going to do a movie called Splinter of the Mind's Eye. I was blown. I was like, are you kidding me? So, but Star Wars made a shitload of money, and Plan A went into effect. Empire, Return, history. And he still had the script for smudge out of mind's eye. Because what am I going to do with this now? So while they were working on Empire just came out, or it was in the process of being made, he's friends with Alan Dean Foster. He goes, Alan, can you hear me? I'm sorry about that. The microphone up in the air. So he goes, yep, real Snow White spanking. Yeah, good. I want to read it. I got a copy of it finally. Yeah, so it turns out this was going to be the sequel. He goes, can we work this as something between – I'm not sure when – I'm guessing it takes place between New Hope and Empire. And he wrote the book. But what's funny is it mentions they're looking for a Kyber crystal. And I'm thinking that the Kyber crystal in this is different than the Kyber crystals we come to know. So, pretty interesting.
And
way back
then. And
the
heroes were joined by the real Snow White, which goes, good book by Alan Dean Foster.
Right, yeah, that's what I just, the real Snow White, yes, that's what I said, the real Snow White told me, says, yes, good. So I have it here, I just got to find time to read it. Also, funny that you mentioned Kyber crystals, because another good book, Shadows of the Empire, which takes place, this is so funny, years later, takes place between Empire and Return of the Jedi. There's a really good chapter in there, and it's one of my favorite chapters of the whole book. Luke goes back to Tatooine, goes to Obi-Wan's hut, or a place where he lives, whatever it is, finds a book, finds Obi-Wan's instructions on how to construct his own lightsaber. And there's a whole chapter where it goes into detail on how he makes his own lightsaber. And I'm like, that's so cool. So there's a whole chapter in there, you know, like that, how he does that one. So, and before I left Horizon, the only manager I actually got along with, he was a huge Star Wars fan, and he was over there, and I was going to go get it from him, and he was reading it, and I heard him talk, so he goes, oh, I read this thing like once a month. I was like, he goes, you enjoying that book? He goes, what? And he looked like upset. I was like, you keep that. You get more enjoyment than I do. And he actually bro-hugged me. I was like, all right, buddy. And it's funny. He actually highlighted stuff in that chapter. I'm like, yeah, that's such a cool chapter. So years later, I went and finally got a copy of it off eBay for like $3. So
I just got $3. I got an answer. It was going like, is Rain one of these people over here chatting in general? I'm going, nope. The reason why it can't be Rain in the general chat is because they're talking Monty Python. She does not like Monty Python.
Rain does not like Monty Python?
No. Or Doctor Who.
Are you shitting? What the hell? Are you shitting me?
I even have doubts he likes Benny Hill.
Oh, shit. I didn't turn all the way to my left. All right, that's really cool. So the real Snow White, and she's many alts. Snow White is a mercenary and has seven mercenaries, and they're all, each one is named after the seven dwarves. All right, very cool.
Well, there's six out of the seven. In fairness, you're allowed six.
Okay.
Happy, Bashful, Dopey, Doc, Sneezy. Which one is missing?
Sleepy. He's at home sleeping.
Okay. All right, we'll go with that.
That's
one.
That makes sense. That's what laugh was like. I was like, if it's only six, I bet she made sure Sleepy's at home. He's napping. He's at the barracks. I'll be there. Okay. The intern boss is jumping up and down around me with a book. All right. Yes. It is. It's the tome from the tomb. Volume 3, otherwise known as... Well, let me say this. If you have a psychic, and I mention him from this book, oh, you need a serious upgrade or good luck training him. Because these are heroic helpers, and if you're a villain, malicious minions from comic book history. These are members of the League of Regrettable Sidekicks. As always, we start off with the beautiful Golden Age, because as we've learned, anything's possible. This one was created by Henry C. Kiefer, debuted in Red Band Comics number 1, Rural, oh God, that's a mouth, good Lord, tonight my mouth is not working, Rural Home, November 1944. They were partnered with The Sorcerer. Current job status, fired. The quote, "Don't call me a scullery maid. I'm a sorcerer's apprentice, I am." Their name? The Apprentice. The phrase The Apprentice may carry reality show connotations for modern audiences, but it's a familiar term that dates back hundreds of years. It's also the handle and occupation of a semi-comical kid hero whose adventures took place in the story-rich environment of the Italian Renaissance. 15th century Venice reads the caption preceding one of his adventures, romantic, colorful, and as deadly as a striking cobra. A time when arguments were settled either by the sword or, and this was more usual, with poison. This is a world in which a young man who bears the very un-Venetian handle of Little Joe Jerk operates a little lazy, slow-witted, and prone to catastrophe. Joe ends up serving a mighty wizard known only as the Sorcerer in an internship position. His responsibilities primarily involve sweeping. Nonetheless, Joe also dabbles in occasional magic. He takes liberties with his master spellbooks, purloins the occasional magical artifact, and commands a collection of quote-unquote friendly demons, his quote-unquote familiars, to whom he frequently passes off his chores. He also gets himself into trouble more often than not. Besides evil witches and wizards, Joe confronts prominent and easily insulted noblemen, famed duelists, and even the infamous poisoner Lucretia Borgia. And, for the most part, Joe escalates conflicts with them. His short temper embroils him in a duel with a master swordsman. He loses control of a magic broom. He serves as a punching bag for an aggressive court jester, and so on. It's not a dignified life, the life of an apprentice. At the end of his short and sporadic career, Joe graduates to his own feature. The whole Jerk clan must have had a real thrill seeing the family name in the masthead for once. But Joe's biggest moment took place when the assorted heroes of Red Band Comics gathered to loan their powers to the rookie crime fighter, Captain Milksop. "I've been sent here by Red Band Heroes, Inc. to help you," Joe explains, adding instructions that sound more like a prank. "By rubbing this book on top of your head round and round, and by saying the magical phrase, Red Band Comics, you'll become a greater hero than us all." It sounds like questionable magic at best, but who better to know than the Sorcerer's Apprentice? Here, take this book, rub it on your head. Wow!
All right. All together
now.
You're
fired.
Wait,
it just so happens we have a scullery maid here. I don't know how this is happening. This is amazing. We're just summoning these characters here. Will. I don't know who Will is either, but holy mackerel. All right. Okay, so now to the Silver Age. And last week, if you remember, we had the Agents of Peril. This week, well, you'll find out in a moment. But they were created by Bob Powell and Wally Wood. Wow. Debuted in Daredevil number 10, Marvel Comics, October 1965. They were henchmen to The Organizer, Count Nefaria, Deathstalker, and Hammerhead. They're in the proud tradition of the Musicians of Bremen and the Banana Splits. Don't start singing. Their quote, "It's not healthy to spy upon the organization, mister. In fact, it's going to prove fatal to you. I give to you the Annie Men."
Oh, no.
Catman. Oh, yes, I know. As soon as I read it, like, oh, he's going to know who they are. Catman, Ape-Man, Frogman, and Birdman. Oh, sorry, wrong Birdman. Aren't just four of the least imaginative names in the history of superhero comics. They've also a repeatedly ill-fated quartet of henchmen for hire, the Annie Men. Through a multitude of incarnations, the Annie Men flubbed assignments and occasionally found themselves unexpectedly murdered. It's a wonder that any self-respecting villain would consider using them for grunt work, which probably accounts for their infrequent appearances. The original Annie Men lineup consisted of four members. Townshend Horgan, alias Catman, possessed infrared vision and extraordinary agility. Gordon Kiefer, a.k.a. Ape Man, boasted tremendous strength and formidable fighting skills. Francois Frog LeBlanc, a former Navy frogman, was recruited to be the group's literal leaping frogman. And lastly, Henry Hawk, a part-time bookie, was given a set of working wings and assigned the code name Birdman. The Animen's costumes and gear, which included oversized communication headsets, are part of what makes them so memorable. Decked out like anthropomorphic versions of their codenames, they wear their equipment in chest-hugging bright yellow vests. This effectively makes them look like they're not wearing pants, as if they were surprisingly realistic Looney Tunes cartoons. They resolve this with full tunics later on, but it seems like a shame to change such a distinctive trait. Losing is primarily what the Annie Men do, and badly, even by comic book villain standards. They were beaten on multiple occasions, individually and as a group, by the sightless superhero Daredevil, and again by Daredevil paired with Spider-Man. Later, they took on Iron Man and not only lost, but were killed when a bomb set by a villain named Spymaster exploded prematurely. A replacement set of Annie Men makes an appearance soon thereafter, but their luck doesn't seem to run any better. Hired by Deathstalker to capture Daredevil, the new Annie Men are rewarded for their success by being murdered by their own boss's electrifying death touch. Additional Annie Men, unrelated to either of the first two incarnations, have popped up in recent years. They seem to have about as much success as the beastly baddies who preceded them. Well, there you go. All right, and now that brings us to the modern age.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't wait to see what we get from this one. Okay, so this is created by Robert Lauren Fleming and Keith Giffen. Oh, Keith Giffen, he's great. I can't wait to see what we get from him. Debuted in, oh, geez, Ambush Bug Volume 1, Number 1, DC Comics, June 1985. And, of course, he's partnered with Ambush Bug. Kind of partner? Silent. The quote, "Your mother darn socks in hell." Oh, the audacity. The name of the sidekick? Cheeks, the Toy Wonder. By the 1980s, the traditional junior superhero had become laughably anachronistic. The strategy of stuffing kid assistants into Halloween costumes and sending them into battle against gun-wielding goons and world-conquering maniacs had apparently run its course. In this tongue-in-cheek spirit, Cheeks, the Toy Wonder, was born, silent, unseeing, and in fact, just a discarded plastic doll. Cheeks didn't do much in the way of saving the day. His senior partner and quote-unquote adoptive father was Ambush Bug, an absurdist, chaotic character whose stock in trade was satirizing the sillier corners of the DC Comics universe while embarking on frenetic, increasingly nonlinear adventures out of his own. His enemies included everything from an evil sock to a 40-foot-tall radioactive koala. But the ambush bug comic, trafficked more in slapstick than in superhero battles. This made Cheeks his perfect sidekick. When a passing garbage truck hits an unexpected pothole, a tossed-away toy baby doll resembling the then-prominent Cabbage Patch Kids crashes through the window of Ambush Bug's unsuccessful detective agency. "It's an omen," he declares with great certainty. "You'll be my ward and my partner in the lonely fight against crime." Being an inanimate object, Cheeks was called on to do little more than be tossed from one place to another or sit on the sidelines. Of course, this is part of the gag. Cheeks was no less useful than many of the kid sidekicks whose careers largely comprised being captured by bad guys or requiring rescue by their respective heroes. Not that Cheeks didn't enjoy a storied existence. In the unpredictable pages of assorted Ambush Bug miniseries and one-shot issues, Cheeks seems to live a thousand lives. Presumed dead after failing to defuse a time bomb, he returned often in different roles. Revived from death as a cannibal zombie, meaning he ate other dolls, serving as a combat medic in World War II, possessed by both the devil and the dreaded Olmec virus, he even spent time as a decapitated hunting trophy hanging on a wall. It's not always glory in the world of sidekicking. The irony of Cheeks is that he achieved greater longevity and popularity than some of DC's lesser-known junior superheroes, despite their ability to move, speak, and think. Well, there you go. And that, and that quote, by the way, "Your mother darn socks in hell," that was spoken by Cheeks while possessed by the devil. Otherwise, you guessed it, Cheeks did not speak. And that's for this week's entries of League of Regrettable Sidekicks.
Hey, baby.
Hey, look, they all can't be winners. I kind of like Cheeks. I think that's hilarious.
I was like, once you said the anime, I am now expecting the group, the henchmen that was led by Ruby Tuesday. You remember Ruby Tuesday, the woman who had her head replaced with a ruby orb.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, we covered her in the villains.
Mm-hmm. She's got to be
the group she's in. I can't remember the name of the group now, but that was, we did them as a group. Remember the one he had, there was like three other ones. They had their heads chained, were their heads put attached to different bodies or something like that. Yeah. 7 minutes left. So just think, according to George Lucas, I'm sorry, I'm back on this kick, in the second series, Luke Skywalker, in the books, like Luke Skywalker is like the most powerful Jedi of all time. Instead, thanks to Kathleen Kennedy, he's a recluse. Weaker because he hasn't used the Force in years. And Rey is just like, can do anything she wants because for no reason. Doesn't need to train. Also, I can do this, I can do that, I can do all this shit. Who needs to train? Oh, I could Force heal too? I'm the first Jedi who could do that in 5,000 years? Oh my goodness. At the end of the movie, she's got, what, BB-8? Because Poe just let her take her droid. She's got Luke and Leia's lightsabers. And for some reason, Chewbacca just let her take the Millennium Falcon.
Hopefully, justice will be served.
I don't know. Supposedly they're going to work on a Rey. They're doing a new trilogy, and Rey's going to be the center of it. You know, the thing that, like, Luke developed a new Jedi Order? No. Fuck that. We're going to let Rey do it, because Kathleen Kennedy has to have all female leads now. And screw Luke Skywalker, because that was George Lucas's character. Like I said, she has nothing to go by. She's just doing this on the cusp. Folks,
she's not even bloodline. She's not even bloodline.
I know. She's the Palpatine. So, of course, she's taking her Sith powers, and she's using them for good. Basically, she's taking female characters, and she's going to replacing Luke Skywalker. The Skywalker.
In every way, shape, because now, all of a sudden, they expect Jedi to have Sith powers.
Yeah. Luke Skywalker will not be mentioned ever again. Look, it's going to be Rey who forms the new Jedi Order. Osaka is going to be the heir to the is doing the Luke Skywalker part and heir to the Empire. So, there you go. The only blessing I could think of is if Disney loses enough money, George and John Favreau have enough of a bullshit and decide to say, hey, we'll pay you this much money for this to get our Star Wars shit back. To give George a Star Wars. Okay. Because that's what's costing you guys all this money. And George just says,
and not doing
yeah,
well with Marvel
yeah.
either.
Well, you know what? This is this whole inclusivity, this whole woke bullshit. They've got,
well,
you know.
They talk about selling
I'm
ABC.
Gonna say
they talk about getting
Holy
rid of ESPN.
This is, you know what's so amazing about this? It's because of Kathleen Kennedy. Her Star Wars movie sucked. Her Indiana Jones movie did shit. And this is what I heard. If the Indiana Jones movie did jack shit, was horrible, she was supposed to get fired. Why the fuck is she still there? No, let's keep her, and we'll sell ESPN and ABC. Are you kidding me? I'm going to keep going on about this. Come on, man. See the writing on the wall. What is she? I think she's really a Sith Lord. Iger, I'm the one who will save you. What, are you kidding me? You're destroying Disney. By the time she's done, there won't be a Disney World or Disneyland anymore. They're going to sell that off, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
On a lighter note, October 16th, there will be a special on ABC, 100 years. And it looks like they're breaking out all the animation characters.
All of them?
That's what it looks like. There is a promo already out on YouTube.
Is it going to have the racial stereotype characters from the early days?
You will note, again, I said the animation.
But they were animated.
Okay.
We got 60 seconds left.
Okay.
Hold on.
No,
we got 60 seconds left. Hold on. We got 60 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. We love you. Have a great week. Go read those comic books, novels, you know, watch those cool TV shows, whatever you can find now, because apparently the strike's over, but I don't know how long it's going to be between the strike and they get the TV shows back on the air. But, you know, watch the cool TV shows, the ones we like. And those movies, if there's anything out there. I don't know what's out there anymore. The strike, it was like 5 months, and that was when they were supposed to be producing new shows. We might not get any new shows again until January. I don't know what's going on anymore. Why is Kathleen Kennedy still there? What the fuck is going on? Matt, say something. Matt?
Matt.
You have anything you want to say? Quickly.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. This is just perplexing me. What the hell is going on? It's a madhouse. All right. I don't think anything's on next, though. Listen to dawnradio.org. Embrace the dawn all week. Thank you all for tuning in. Goodbye.
All right. right. I will talk to you later.
All right. I'm just typing to the scullery. So maybe she's got a photo of them playing, maybe the bigwigs playing with their lightsabers. All right, folks. We are out of here. Oh, scullery said, thank you, Joe. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. Let me see what's going on over here. All right. Ending the show. Let me get back over to the studio. All right. Ending the show in three. Have a good night, man. Go to sleep. Get some rest. Feel better. Right. 3, 2, 1. Good night.